did we go back in time? Is this March 2020 before everything? We've got a good crowd here. It's good. And we've been having good crowds. It's good to see more and more people coming out. It's good to see all of you all this morning. Of course, we welcome those that are joining us on Facebook. I hope you had a good week. I've kind of had an interesting week. I had one of my stray dogs that we've been keeping since September. The UPS guy finally got him. It's been a fight that's been going on for several months, and you only lose once with a UPS truck. And then so then the next day, I went to my barber, who I went to 2 weeks ago, and I said, just kind of clean up what you did last time. And he went a whole lot higher and a whole lot shorter. I said I'm something between a character in Mad Max or a Muppet from Sesame Street. I'm like the weather guy for Sesame Street. But anyway, I hope you all have had a good week. We are going to start a new series this morning, and we're going to go through the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm sort of excited about this, but we're going to discover about life and how the Lord works with us studying in this book. Now you might think, if you've read the book of Ecclesiastes, and most of you probably have at least parts of Ecclesiastes, you might think, well, that's kind of a depressing book. Well, how could anyone be excited about the book of Ecclesiastes? It does seem like a pretty depressing book, but really it's not. It is a book of wisdom. And if we don't embrace the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, I don't believe that we can truly, fully embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to talk about over the next few weeks. I want us to discover how the wisdom of Ecclesiastes helps us to embrace the love of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how you can understand or appreciate the gospel and all it has to offer. You really need to understand the book of Ecclesiastes. But before all that, let's talk about snow. It seems like we've had quite a bit of it recently, and that's okay. And we like snow, even as adults. When it starts to fall, there's just something inside a human being that says, I got to build something with that snow. I got to build something with it. And so we build snowmen. We make snow angels. We build snow forts. Whatever it is, we think we've got to make something out of snow. Ryan Snell and I, one time, we would build anything out of snow. There was snow dinosaurs. Sort of. but to us, they were masterpieces. And a couple of days later, we took a couple of other friends to see our snow dinosaurs. And of course, they were gone. And that's the thing with snowmen and snow forts and even snow dinosaurs, is all it takes is a warm day and it's gone. Just like that. Of course, when a kid builds something out of snow, if you're a parent, and your kid wants to go outside and build a snowman, chances are you're going to say absolutely. For a lot of reasons, but one of them is go and build something with that snow, because we all understand that desire. But imagine if somebody wanted to invest a bunch of money into snow sculpture. In fact, we could talk about a dog patch over in Harrison. They decided they were going to have a mountain where people could ski down all year round. Well, that did not work out for them. But imagine thousands of dollars to make the best snowman out in your yard, and they would invest money in it, and you'd say, no, that's kind of silly. Well, we might not say no. We might take the money. I don't know what you would do. But some people would say that's silly. It's silly to invest a bunch of money into building something out of snow. Why? Well, because we've all been around long enough to know that it's eventually going to melt. It's going to be gone. Give it a warm day. We realize that it's foolish to get too invested in something that's going to melt away. It's foolish to get too invested in something that's going to vanish in a minute. Now it may be fun, and it may be enjoyable, and it's not bad. It's good. We are made to do these kinds of things, but we know it's kind of silly, and it's foolish to get too invested in something that's just going to vanish in a moment. And the more time and the more perspective and the more wisdom that we have, the more we understand that it's silly And it's foolish to get too invested in something that's going to vanish and melt away in a moment. And what the book of Ecclesiastes has to tell us is everything is just like that. Everything is like building a sandcastle. Everything is building a snowman. Everything is like wind or smoke or vapor, and it looks just as real as it can be. It looks solid. It looks like you can reach out and grab it. You can invest in it, but it's going to be gone in just a moment. In fact, we could put it this way. Ecclesiastes reveals the temporary and the illusory nature of everything under the sun and the wisdom of disillusionment. So let's just break that down for a second. Ecclesiastes reveals the temporary nature of everything. It reveals that everything is temporary, and what is right now is going to go away, and then something else is going to come, but that's really been here before, and everything is just going to go in a cycle. Everything is temporary, but it's not just temporary, it's illusory. There's an illusion to it. It seems so real. It seems so solid, like you could just invest in it, like you could build your house on it, but it's vapor. It's smoke. It's going to go away, and it's going to disappoint you. It's going to let you down. If you build a snowman and you expect it to last forever, that's going to crush you. We've probably all had that experience when we were kids. We built a snowman, and it was great, and it was awesome. We thought, this thing is going to stick around forever, and then it melted, and we were disillusioned. And really, Ecclesiastes points out the wisdom of disillusionment. Because if we don't learn it from Scripture, better put this on, if we don't learn it from Scripture, if we don't learn it from Ecclesiastes, then we're going to learn it the hard way. That everything is vanity. Everything is meaningless. Everything is chasing after the wind. In fact, the Hebrew word for all of that is hevel or hevel. I'm probably going to say hevel. That seems more natural to me. And that's the phrase of Ecclesiastes. Everything is hevel. That word hevel means like a smoke or a vapor. Some translations say meaningless. Some translations say vanity, all of it, everything you are chasing, everything you are investing in, everything is hevel. And that's what Ecclesiastes wants us to embrace, is the wisdom of disillusionment. The wisdom is realizing that everything is hevel. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 of Ecclesiastes says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanity," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity." And again, that word is hevel. Hevel of hevels. All is hevel. Everything is hevel. Everything is smoke. Everything is vapor. Everything is temporary. Everything you're building, everything that you're chasing, everything you're doing under the sun, that's the preacher's word in Ecclesiastes. Is everything that you are doing under the sun, all of your earthly, worldly endeavors, it's all hevel. It's all vanity. It's all smoke. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that it's sinful. It just means you need to embrace some disillusionment. You need to realize and recognize and embrace the temporary and illusory nature of it all, because if you don't embrace it now, if you don't embrace it based on what the preacher in Ecclesiastes is telling you, if you don't embrace it based on what Scripture is telling you, you'll have to learn it the hard way. Sometimes that's what we choose to do, kind of, isn't it? We build something out of snow. We build something out of sand, out of smoke, and we realize just how temporary that was. In fact, you might even think about a mirage and how it's like it should be, but it's always right there just in front of us. The way that we think things should be, the way things should be, things are going to work out this way. If I do X, Y, and Z, then here should be the results. That's the way it should work. Here's how life should work. Here's how our culture should work. Here's the way our society should be. Here's the way my family should be. And it's all right in front of you, and you can see it just as clear as day. And then you reach out to grab it, and it's just smoke in your hands. It's just vapor. And the writer of Ecclesiastes says, look, I've been around. I have seen it all. I have seen this stuff and all of the stuff you were building. Everything that you were chasing and all the things that you're doing under the sun, it's smoke. It's vapor. It's vanity. It's meaningless. All of it. All of this. All of your work under the sun. All of this stuff that you're chasing and you're doing. All of this stuff that you're building, you think that it's going to last forever. You think that if you're going to make it this way, it's the way it should be, but it's not. It's just smoke and mirrors. It's just a vapor. It's just vanity. It's meaningless. And you think, well, that's pretty depressing. You may think that's pretty negative, but it's not. Again, it's wisdom. Because again, if you don't learn it from the preacher, you're going to learn it from reality itself. You'll realize so many times in life that you've seen the future and you've seen the way you know things should be. When I graduate high school or college or whatever, this is what's going to happen. And you think, there it is. That there's the future. There's reality. I'm just going to reach out and I'm going to grab it. But every time you reach out and grab it, it turns out to be smoke. And the preacher says, listen, because if you don't listen to this, you're going to be very disappointed in this life. Verse 3 says, what does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth lasts or remains forever. That word generation means a revolution of time, an era, an age. One comes and one goes. One generation comes, one generation goes. The earth and the Lord are the only constants. Everything is in flux. Everything is just going around in a cycle after cycle, and nothing lasts. Have you ever drove past a historical marker? Sometimes I like to look at those and read what happened. But do you know why we need those historical markers? Because if it wasn't there, you would never know anything happened there. You would never know that something historical happened on that spot because there's nothing there anymore. Maybe a huge battle or a huge building or this life was lived right here. But time has passed and you would never know it happened. You drive through our area or drive up towards the mountains and there are all kinds of things that have happened in those spots, places where people thought, this is going to matter. I'm going to build something here that's going to matter. And guess what? Time went by, and that thing that they built collapsed and melted just like a snowman, just like a sandcastle, like a structure built of smoke. And if nobody told you that something significant happened right there, you would never know it happened. That's what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying. What does man gain by all the toils under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. He's really asking, what progress have we really made? Well, what have we really built that lasts? He's asking that question. What progress have we really made? Verse 5 says, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the earth or to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. And on its circuits, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where streams flow, there they flow again. For the preacher here, everything is a circle. Everything is a cycle. Every generation, it's a cycle. He says, look at the sun. It goes up and goes down and it comes up again. The very same place it came up the day before. It goes around in a circle. He says that the waters, they run into the sea, and you think the waters have been running to the sea forever, and the sea never gets full. It just keeps going in cycle after cycle. No progress. No progress is being made. He says all of this. And you think, okay, how much progress have you made, rivers? How much fuller have the seas got, rivers? None. None. How much progress have you made, son? None. It just keeps going around in the same cycle, in the same circle, after day. Nothing really is making progress. Makes me think sort of a carousel. You can get on the very best horse on the carousel, right? The fastest horse. But that's just a joke, because there isn't a best horse on the carousel. All of the horses are going to finish at the same time. You might think your horse is beating the guy behind you, but maybe his horse is so fast that he's really getting ready to lap you. Who knows, right? Because it's just a circle. And you can sit there and argue with someone until you're blue in the face about whose horse is going the fastest, but nobody's horse is going the fastest. They're all going around in the same circle. And throughout the book here of Ecclesiastes, the preacher is going to explore all of the areas in life, and you think you are winning because you have the most of this, but guess what? It's all just hevel. It's all just smoke. It's all just vapor. It's all just vanity. One generation comes, one generation is going to come, and no progress is going to be made. It's just going to go round and round in a circle after circle. We are doing the same things the generations before us did, and they did the same thing that the generation before them did, and guess what? The generation of them did the same thing as the generation before them. It's all meaningless, a vain circle, building snowman after sandcastle after smoke structure. Nothing will last. Verse 8 says, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. He kind of says it's all sort of exhausting, isn't it? Well, when you think about life like this, it's kind of exhausting. Your eye never sees something that says, that's so beautiful. I'm never going to look at anything again. My eyes have been satisfied. I don't want to see anything ever again. And your ears are never going to say, that was the sweetest sound I have ever heard. I never want to hear another sound again. And maybe you've had, Paul and I were talking earlier, maybe you've had a really good steak. Sometimes I think if I never eat anything again, I'm going to be satisfied. Liar. I probably had ice cream 10 minutes later after having that. That's how we are, right? We are never satisfied. It's just a circle, a cycle. We are hungry, we eat something, and then we are hungry again. We want to see something, and we see it, and then we want to see something again. We're never satisfied. It's just a cycle, a circle. We never get full. We never get satisfied. We're never content. It's always just more and more, and never arriving at anything. Verse 9 says, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which is said, see, this is new? It is already in the ages before us. He wants us to embrace this wisdom. God wants us to embrace this wisdom, that nothing is new under the sun. We all have this tendency sometimes to do it. We say, that's new. That's a novel idea. That's never been done before. They've never tried that. We could do it like this brand new way. And the preacher says, nonsense. It's all been done before. It's the same song. You might just be singing a different verse, but we're singing the same song. So stop saying that's new, because it's not. Whatever it is, it's not new. It's just a different way of doing the same old things. Whatever it is, and that's what we do a lot of times. We were pointing at something and we're saying that's new and that's novel, and we put all of our hopes in it. And the preacher wants us to not be too optimistic about new ideas. But we also sometimes we see new things and we get afraid of it because it's new. And we're like, these people are trying new stuff. And he also wants us not to be too afraid, because guess what? What they're doing is not new either. Whatever it is that we get enamored with, or we get captivated by these illusory new ideas, we should say new, right? In quotation marks, because there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing novel. There's nothing unique, nothing new. It's full of the same holes as the thing before it. This will fail just like all of the other ideas. This is vanity. This is meaningless too. This is smoke too. And this should help us not be too optimistic about somebody or something that comes along and says, hey, I've got a new idea. No, you really don't. And it should also help us not be too fearful about when somebody comes along and says, I've got a new idea, because they don't either. Nothing is new. It's all been done before. It's just around and around and around and around. Building snowmen, building sandcastles, building more things out of smoke. And this new idea will go the same way as the old idea, and it's full, has just as many holes, because all of the things you're chasing, all of the things you're doing, and all of the things you're building, it's smoke. It's just hevel. It's temporary. It's illusory. And if you don't embrace the wisdom of the preacher in Ecclesiastes, then that thing that is your new idea that is so exciting, it's going to end up disappointing you every single time. Because we look and we say, I see the future. I see the way things should be. And we reach out and grab it, and it's gone. It's just hevel. That's why the preacher would say in chapter 3 in several different ways, he says it's better to be at the end of a thing than at the beginning of it. Why would he say that? Why would he say that it's better to go to a funeral than to a birth, than to a house of celebration? Because the end is better than the beginning. Why? Well, in a sense that now you know the reality of things. Because at the beginning of something, sometimes you think this is going to last forever. Have you ever driven through barren country? Places around here where houses have been abandoned, or through Kansas, there's a lot of houses that have just been abandoned and they're dilapidated and they're falling down around their foundation. That there's hardly anything left. Well, the preacher in Ecclesiastes says that the end is better than the beginning. I think of those houses and I think somebody used to live there, right? That used to be brand new. That used to be somebody's dream. And now it's falling around. And again, the preacher says that the end is better than the beginning, because the beginning, you are filled with the illusion that this is going to last forever. And at the end, at least you know the truth now. At least you know that everything is hevel. Everything is work. All the work you've done under the sun is just smoke. Now, is it wrong to build a house? Of course not. It's not wrong to celebrate the building of a house. But it is wrong. It is foolish to think this house is going to last forever. It's not a new kind of house that's going to last forever. There's no such thing as that kind of house yet. Houses get built and houses crumble and fade away. And someday you won't even be able to tell that there was even a house there. That it's just a piece of land. Verse 11 says that there is no remembrance of the former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. He says it's not just the future things that are hevel, but it's also the past things that are hevel. Because sometimes we say, yeah, these young people with their new ideas, that's not new. That thing's going to fail. And we say the past, the good old days, That's where we ought to look for answers. The way things used to be, there's where our answers are right there. And the preacher says, that's hevel too. Look at what he says in chapter 7, verse 10. He says, say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. All of it is hevel. All of it's smoke. All of it's vanity. It's a chasing after the wind. The things that will be, the things that are, and the things that were, all of it. Stop saying this is new. Here's a new idea that's never been tried before. Stop with that kind of thinking. Well, whatever it is that you're working towards, whatever you're building, is something special, is something unique, is something new. He says that the one way or one way or another that you are going to discover the truth, that all of it is just hevel. So here's the question yet. Are you feeling disillusioned yet? Well, if not, go and read the book of Ecclesiastes. You will feel disillusioned. But that is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be disillusioned with illusions. And when things are illusory and we get captivated by it and then we get disappointed by it, we feel disillusioned. And we say, I shouldn't have invested so much into that. I should have known that this wasn't new or unique. I should have realized that this too, like everything else under the sun, this too will fail. This too has holes in it. And this is the only question that we can embrace here. This is the only position that we can be in to really embrace the gospel. Because there are things that are not hevel. There are things that are not hevel and are the things that our Lord does. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it, so the people fear before him. Whatever God does endures forever. Whatever I build is a snowman, a sandcastle. It's just smoke. Whatever any other human does under the sun, it's all just hevel. It's all just chasing after the wind. It's temporary and it's illusory and there is nothing under the sun. But whatever God does endures forever. And this is where the gospel comes in. This is where the preacher of Ecclesiastes helps set up the gospel so we know that all of this stuff that people do under the sun, it's just temporary. It's just illusory. It's just hevel. It's all smoke. But whatever God does endures forever. And God sees the big picture. You and I are just here for a little while, and then our cycle is going to run out, and then another cycle is going to start. It's just how it goes. So here's how we can say it. Jesus is doing something so life is meaningful. And this is getting ready to get real corny. Jesus is doing something new so life is meaningful under the sun. S-O-N, right? Jesus is meaningful and doing something new so life is meaning under the Son of God. Life is meaningful under the Son of God because Jesus is doing something new. Jesus' kingdom isn't like any other kingdom. Every other kingdom, it looks solid, it looks eternal, it looks like you could invest in it, but it's just hevel. But it's a kingdom of smoke and mirrors. But Jesus' kingdom is eternal. When Jesus came and was born into this world, you could look at the Son of God and you could say, that is something new. That is something that has never been done before and never will be done again. That one, the Messiah, the King, the Savior and Redeemer, that is something new. And he is doing something new. And when he is raised from the dead, never to die again, that was something new. And what he is building and what he is doing and what he will do, that again is something new, something unique, something novel. Why? Because God is doing it, and what God does endures forever. So Jesus brings the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God endures forever. The kingdom of man are heaven, but the kingdom of God endures forever. So investing in him, God, pursuing him, building your house on his words, that is meaningful. That is a meaningful life. This is a life that will last. The only life that is going to last. This is the only way to invest in something and pursue something and seek something that in the end of life, that will end in life and not end in death. The only way is to fear God and keep his commandments, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Think about the way that Jesus ends the Sermon on the Mount. He says, whoever hears these words of mine and what? And does them will be like a man who builds his house on a rock. And when the winds come and the rains come and the floods rise, the house will stand. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a man who builds his house on sand. Every other house that is being built on sand, every other pursuit, every other passion, every other idea, every other seeking, every other building, everything you are doing is all going to fade away. It's all going to end in death. It's just a cycle that goes around and around and around. And the only thing that endures forever is what God is doing. It is what Jesus is doing. He's doing something new. And life under the Son of God is truly meaningful. It's the only meaningful life. The only way to do something that truly matters. The only way to live in such a way that ends in life and not ends in death is to follow Jesus Christ. He gives us new life, a new pursuit, a new hope, something to build on our lives, to build our lives on. That's why you can't truly embrace the gospel until you get disillusioned with all of the things going on under the sun. All of the things that generations ago said, this is brand new, invest in this, give us your life. Or people come along now today and say, we have a new idea, invest in this, give us your life. All of it is hevel. All of it is vanity. All of it is meaningless. But Jesus truly is building something new. But building something new, and life truly is meaningful under the Son of God. Give him your life. And this is the way we share the gospel with our friends and our family. Because if they aren't disillusioned yet, they'll get there. They will get there. They'll realize the meaninglessness of it all. They've built their houses on sand. They've built snowmen, and they've realized that they're melting. So we come along, those that know Jesus, and we say Jesus really is doing something new, and Jesus really does give a life that is meaningful under the sun. That's the good news that we have to share with our friends and our families so that we can all build our houses on solid ground. If we can help you in any way this morning, if you're ready to be baptized or need prayers and encouragement, you can seek myself or one of the deacons or one of the elders after services, or you can come now as together we stand and we sing.